I imagine that for the ones who have come up and tried to put all their good works and their skills and their talents and put it on the cross, how frustrating it must be to see it falling down, and you press, and it falls down. And just like the Israelites, hopefully we learn that nothing we do can buy our way into heaven. Does that make sense? Yes. We had this exercise for you to frustrate you completely today. And so all the things, at the end of the day, only Christ and the cross, that's what gets us there. Not our stuff that we think we do.
Then God sent his prophets who predicted the birth of Jesus Christ. And then people say that God was silent for 400 years. So let's have a moment of silence.
Silence. Do you really think God was silent?
Not really.
No. So let's not have a moment of silence. God is never silent. God is always busy doing something. I think what they talk about is the 400 years since the Old Testament ended and the New Testament started, when Malachi ended his writing and Matthew started his writing. But actually, God is never silent, neither is he inactive. So while we have this 400 gap between the end of the Old Testament and the New Testament, the following happened. The Babylonians came. And then the Persians entered God's story. And Nebuchadnezzar was a real powerful Babylonian king, just like Moses had predicted 900 years before any of this happened. Nebuchadnezzar conquered Jerusalem. He burnt it. Look at all these Babylonians and Persians. And destroyed the temple. They did it. Destroyed the temple that Solomon had built. And then he exiled them to Babylon. And then under Cyrus, Cyrus conquered the Babylonians. And Cyrus became the most powerful person in the world. And he permitted the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. And the Persians, ruled for 200 years. And then a mighty man, predicted by Daniel, Alexander the Great, conquered the Persian Empire. Alexander, and because Alexander believed that the prophet Daniel had written about him, the Jews had favor with the Greeks. And because of Alexander, he allowed the Bible to be translated into Greek, and that's why we have pretty much our Greek version of scripture. How cool was that?
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool, huh?
The Jews lived in semi-independence until the Romans came. The Romans became the dominant world power. The Israelites again became a province in this empire. This is the time when Yeshua lived, from whom the messianic hope spread mostly to Gentiles in what is known today as Christianity. This explains why Romans and Roman government is so prominent in the New Testament, because Rome ruled supreme at this time.
That's right. And this brings us to the star, the beautiful star. The star represents the angelic messenger of God. The star is the glow in the darkness. So in this way, it's the symbol of hope, the light that can help us find our way in times of darkness. And in Christian tradition, the star is also a symbol of Christ's birth, divine guidance and affection. The star of Bethlehem. Oh, look at our gorgeous star. I was finding it difficult with a star and a puzzle piece. Thank you, Chelsea. The star of Bethlehem, where the wise men from the east were inspired to travel to Jerusalem.
So the star was already in place since God created stars in Genesis. How awesome is that? Let's read Matthew 2:1-12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judah during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judah," they said, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time and star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Wow, the wise men and the star, and Mary and Joseph. God has chosen Mary, but she could have said no, right, to this very important task. Instead, she said, "Let it be with me just as you have said." Gosh, I'm wondering, what will you say if an angel appears and talks to you?
Angel's talking to me?
Yes.
I feel scared.
And yet every time they say, "Fear not." Do you think they're making that up? Or?
I don't know.
They're pretty, you know, not as scary as the shepherd. But, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph had taken Mary to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, where he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the child to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available to them. Do you guys have guest rooms at your house?
No.
Oh, so I can't just come.
We can make some room, but we don't have a proper room for guests.
Okay. But I'm welcome.
Yes, you are.
Well, and according to the story, there was no one who was saying welcome to them. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, what did the angel say to them?
I don't know. Do not be afraid.
That's right.
I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
I'm wondering if our shepherds could come.
Never mind.
The third candle symbolizes joy and is called the shepherd's candle. To the shepherd's great joy, the angels announced that Jesus came for humble, unimportant people like them too. In liturgy, the colour rose signifies joy. It reminds us that the joy of the Lord is coming.
Amen.
Where's the flamethrower to get this light going? Oh, it's bright. Excellent.
So after Jesus' birth, a whole lot of other things happened, hey. Jesus was here on earth, grew up like us. I think it's so important to not just kind of know these things, but to remember it and to be reminded of it often. Is this a good place for us to have a communion, to remember that Christmas is more than just a holiday and a Christmas tree and lights?
Yes, it is a very good place to have communion. What do you think? Do you think the congregation will join us
yes.
in having communion today? Will the congregation join us in having communion today? If you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ, our Messiah, then please come and remember with us the coming of our Messiah. And so I would like to invite you again. It's going to be a little bit different today. So if you could come row by row. I think I have Ruth and Terry. Are they here somewhere? And Jan and Dave.